morning. Thankful for you, and 2024 is finished, and 2025 is now here. Isn't that crazy? It's 2025. Thinking back in the early 1990s, which is when I was in elementary school, 2025 was only thought about in sci-fi movies or fiction novels of a future date in which the world, operated with hovercrafts and space shuttles, right? And now we're here. We're living in 2025. Pretty crazy to think about. But every year at the beginning of the year, the first Sunday of the year, I like to go through some of the things that happened in 2024 and also give a vision for 2025. And I went back and looked at the State of the Church address at the beginning of 2024 last year. 2023 was all about the mission of God. And we had 7 mission trips. We did all these glorious works in 2023. And 2024 was a little bit different, I think, for me at least, and maybe for you as well and the church overall. But it was a lot about loving Jesus. Even in the mundane, the hard, every single day. Our mission of loving Christ and living His mission really does balance the outward work that we do here at NWBC with a heart for Jesus. It's not just about getting the work done. It's also about loving Christ as we do the work. I can remember multiple times this last year thinking to myself, specifically during the Song of Solomon series in the summer, man, the Lord really does love me. He has shown His steadfast love to me. And to me, that characterizes our church last year. A deep love of God in which leads to every single aspect of our life. This is why we say we love Christ, we live His mission, because it's a both and. We must love Jesus while doing the mission of Christ, or we're just accomplishing task. During a difficult time about 10 years ago, there was a lot of activity in the church here at Northwest. We had been doing a lot of things, and yet we had lost our first love. This was 10 years ago. The transition team wrote in 2017, during this time period, a letter to the church. And I want to remind you of this letter that was written in 2017 to the church. We know the works we have done, how we have chosen to remain in the community and have persevered. We know that we have a reputation for missions, discipleship, and service. Yet we have lost our zeal for Christ and often serve out of our own passion, strength, and desires, frequently leaving us feeling trapped and ineffective. We also have made choices that have distracted us from the Great Commission. Therefore, we must repent of our sin and love God with our whole heart. End of quote. That was the letter that was written from the transition team to the church in 2017. In essence, it was a lot of Martha and no Mary, right? A lot of busy work and activity, yet a need to rest in the presence of God and love Him by worshiping Him. And last year, I feel like we did a lot of work in our own hearts, in which we examined our hearts before the Lord and found our hearts burning and yearning for the Word of God and the Lord Himself, rather than just doing it for ourselves. It was a special year at Northwest in 2024. We spent a lot of time in the book of Mark. If you remember that, David mentioned it earlier, that Jesus is King. Amen? Amen. We had our Easter series, Fresh New Start, and we had our summer series, Song of Solomon, where we saw the steadfast love of God and were challenged to be steadfast in our own lives because of God's steadfast love for us. One of my favorite things that happened last year was towards the end of the year, during the fall, we had a stretch of about 10 weeks in a row in which someone was either baptized or joined the church. 10 weeks of either someone coming before the church, asking to be a part of our church in membership, or being baptized, showing their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2024, we had 34 new members, 14 baptisms, and God has blessed every area of our church, from children's ministry to our steadfast senior adults. God has shown himself faithful. I'm going to run down some facts and figures for you and some things that we went through in 2024. Champs Camp, as you saw on the video, was a tremendous impact in our community. We put the Garden of Eden on the stage with a live waterfall in the sanctuary. Maybe the coolest thing that we did, though, during Champs Camp was we had 75 volunteers. I believe the most volunteers we've ever had at Champs Camp. A record number of campers at Cross Timbers, and our Wednesday night program for our kids was second to none, with our own, very own kids leadership team helping on Wednesday nights. Lights Over Northwest had 1,300 people come through our doors that night, sharing the gospel with each and every family. We hosted our own parenting conference this last year on the topic of Can Discipline Be Loving? We added a new pre-K and kindergarten class during Children's Church to account the growth in our children's area, moving Children's Church to the gym as well. In the youth, we took 70 youth to Falls Creek. We had 5 salvations at Falls Creek. 4 of those were baptized after being discipled. Because of our involvement at Northwest Classen this year, high school, Northwest Baptist Church was named the Nonprofit Religious Community Partner of the Year by Oklahoma City Public Schools Foundation. Big award and a great honor for our work with the school. We took over 40 people on a mission trip to Nashville during spring break, many their first mission trip ever. Our church was able to feed the families of 25 Northwest Classen students this fall. God has opened doors on the campus to start a Bible study at the school. We were able to pray with our students at 4 different high schools at CU at the Pole this year. Both women and men's ministries also thrived this year. Our women in their Growing in Grace events, ladies' Bible studies, studying Ruth and James, and their women's retreats. The men also had a strong showing this year with their men's breakfast, their float trip, and their men's camp out. Language Learning Fellowship operated at a high level, maxing out most of their classes, serving a huge need in the community on Wednesday nights, averaging around 150 students every Wednesday night. Many plugging into the life of the church, many baptisms upcoming through Language Learning Fellowship and the work being done in that ministry. Our local and global missions efforts were again this strong this year, with members going on international mission trips to Guatemala, Gambia, Sierra Leone, Nicaragua, Colombia, and North Africa. We had 2 longer-term college teams go for months at a time, one to North Africa and one to Thailand this year. We funded and helped outside of ourselves as well with Kingdom Kids and Operation Christmas Child. We also gave $114,000 to the cooperative program, which includes the International Mission Board and the North American Mission Board. In our local missions, of course, we had a very well-attended Great Mission OKC with several teams going throughout the city doing the work of the gospel in the lives of people. Northwest Sports has also had a great engagement sharing the gospel with every single child that played with our teams. We hosted OKC Neighborhood Alliance Community Panel on Mental Health and Suicide Prevention. We also hosted a senior adult holiday luncheon with Kyle Dillingham. If you were there, it was a tremendous luncheon. We worked with In the Gap this summer with apartment Bible clubs. We also provided Christmas gifts to moms for their children at Hope House this December. We helped provide funds to build a prayer house at a homeless outreach called the Christian Service Center. You may not know that. You may go over there and volunteer there as we provided the funds to build their prayer house in which they're doing right now. Community Vance had another great year as they hosted the club on Wednesday nights and summer club during the summer in which many lives were impacted for the kingdom of God. And they seek to continue to reach the arms of Christ into the community, specifically at Taft Middle School, casting the net to see the Lord's work in the lives of young people. Many salvations, dozens of salvations for them this year. We did lose some of our saints this year as we lost some of our faithful saints. We lost Connie Bradford, Nancy Brown, Fern Corley, Melvadine Deaton, Jerry Lindgren, and Georgine Rame. If I've forgotten somebody, I'm so sorry. But we did lose some of the great saints for the kingdom of God. Some beautiful people. We introduced 5 new equip groups: God and Money, Worship, Love and Action, Marriage Maintenance, and Young Adults. And we have many, many who served our body really, really well. Unsung heroes in the church, if you will. Our building and grounds team, our greeter ministry team, our translation team, our children's workers, our deacons, our audiovisual teams. They were really special this year, going above and beyond, each spending hundreds of hours serving God's people with a happy heart. We added a new pastor in residence. You heard from him last week. He did a fantastic job. We added 2 new deacons this year. And as far as the budget is concerned, again, we made budget for a 4th year in a row. God has provided financially for our church in major ways. We finished the year at $1,140,000. That's $40,000 over what we budgeted for this year. And thank you for giving in such a powerful and God-glorifying way. Church people that come to our church, when they come to our DNA classes, they are shocked that we don't talk about giving more often. I tell them we talk about the gospel, and often giving is reflected by our understanding of the gospel. And so we talk about the gospel so often that giving comes out a lot because we understand the gospel. Because of our giving has been so strong, we continue to renew parts of our facilities. Many improvements this year, including lighting, the gym, east entrance, were made to continue to be good stewards of the building God has given to us. Much to my chagrin, though, we had to pay over $100,000 in new AC heating units this year, if you include the new counseling center, which we are working on, which is going in soon there. But God has provided for us in major ways, and we are grateful to have some of the last units that needed to be replaced and up to date. Praise the Lord for that. We can focus on better and greater things than heating units. But God did provide for us in those ways as well. Every year so that's 2024. 2024, that's a lot to take in, I understand, but I feel like I need to tell you all the glorious and great things that God has done. Let's praise the Lord together for what he's done. And I've forgotten and didn't think about many, many other things. So if you're thinking in your head, well, he forgot me, or didn't talk about me, or didn't talk about this ministry, just remind yourself that it's all for the glory of God, not for the glory of Rob, that's for sure. So, but in 2025, let's talk. We've talked about 2024. That is now over. It's 2025. And the vision that God has given to us, and hopefully as you think of yourself individually and the vision that God has given you individually, you also think of the collective, which is the church, the people of God, here at 23rd and Drexel, that you are a part of What are we collective called to be about? Let me just run back through the history since I've been here. This will be 7 years upcoming in August. But let me just run back the history of the vision that God has given to us each year since 2019. 2019 was about seeking the face of God, a return to worship and prayer. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land. That was the time where we really needed a lot of healing, 2019. 2020, encouraging Christ-centered community within the body. That was the pandemic, right? Community groups and encouraging one another, Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider how to stir up one another towards love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. In 2021, it was a call for repentance, bringing about joy. Psalm 126:5, those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy, having a joy-filled heart in a very wicked world than which we live in. In 2022 was live like you were dying, preparing for eternity. We've lost a lot of saints since that time, but 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18, for this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison as we look to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. In 2023, we challenged our people that we are gifted to give, and we talked about the spiritual giftings in which God has given us, our lives of response to the great gospel. And as a response, we give our lives to one another in building up the body of Christ, his church. The idea that we could encourage people by using our gifts in the spirit of the living God. Romans 1:11, for I long to see you that I might impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. And in 2024, the word was steadfast. Out of the steadfast love of God, we respond in Christ-like steadfast love towards the Lord and towards one another. Psalm chapter 100, verse 5, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. And in 2025, the Lord has given me this vision for us as a collective unit, which is to be strong in the Lord. From Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Amen? It is the call of gospel people to be filled with the Spirit, to rely upon the power of God, not the power of man. At first glance, when you read this scripture, be strong, right? You think of yourself, well, maybe I should be stronger. Maybe I need to pull myself up by my bootstraps. Maybe some of the sayings you have heard, when you fall, you get up. Just rub some dirt on it, you'll be fine, right? How about this one? Just get your act together. Put your nose to the grindstone. Get your chin up. I can hear my coaches saying these things to me, right? That's truly not what the scripture says. It says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. It's not about your strength. It's not about you gaining more strength. It's you relying upon the power of God. Your strength does not come from you, but from the power of God himself. 2 Timothy 1:7, I love this verse. I say this verse to myself often because I struggled in these areas for a long time. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. You see, the Spirit has the power, the Spirit has the love, and the Spirit has the sound mind, and God has given us his Spirit so that we may respond in Christ's likeness. The power of God does not come from trying harder or doing more for the kingdom of God, but rather from the Spirit of the living God, in which he gives to us to glorify him with our life. You see, the more that we yield to the Spirit of the living God in our lives, the more the Spirit is able to glorify God through our life. And thus we are able to withstand the enemy's assaults on our hearts and our minds. Maybe you're tired. Maybe you're hurt. Maybe you're lonely. Maybe you're in a situation in which you have lost hope. And you must turn and rely upon the Lord and the strength of his might to sustain you, that wherever we may be, we might be reminded that he is the rock of our salvation. He is the strong fortress in which we rest under the shadow of his wings. So let's read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 for us this morning. If you'll stand with me, we're going to read just that one verse. And after this verse is the armor of God. You know that verse as well. I've preached on those verses many times. But I just want to focus on these few words here in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. You may be seated. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning, that it may encourage us as we vision for our lives, for your glory, for 2025. May we be people who rely completely and utterly upon you. Father, our own might and our own strength will fail, and we are weak in many, many areas. Father, help us to be people who say we need our God. Help us to call upon your name. For just simple things, but for every single aspect of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When you think of strength, what's one character of the Bible that you can think of, right? Like, probably in your mind, you might be thinking of Samson. If you know who Samson is, the Old Testament hero of strength. So strong that he could kill a lion with his own hands. He was maybe the strongest man ever to live, endowed with great strength from God. He had a jawbone of a donkey in which he was able to kill 1,000 men with. Can you believe that? That's the story in the Bible, right? A guy takes a jawbone of a donkey and kills 1,000 men with it. Man killing and a lion with his own bare hands. But the story of Samson, we know, doesn't end well for him. As he forgets where his strength truly comes from. Listen to the mouth of Samson as his heart is exposed by his own words. Judges chapter 15, verse 16. With the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of a donkey, have I struck down 1,000 men. Can you imagine? Someone who is endowed by the Spirit of the living God saying, look at what I have done. Not glorifying God in the process. You see, Samson's heart had become reliant upon his own strength. And that led him to a very dark place. A place in which would lead him to not acknowledging God in any area of his life. You see, the Nazarite vow which he was consecrated with someone like Samson was born under, like John the Baptist was born under, in which they were filled with the Spirit of the living God from birth and set apart for a special work. And in this Nazarite vow, they weren't supposed to drink anything from the vine, not grape juice, not wine. They weren't supposed to touch anything dead, making them unclean. And they weren't supposed to cut the hair of their head. And each of these stories in Judges with Samson, you get these pictures that Samson is losing his understanding of where his strength actually comes from. You have this bizarre story of Samson eating honey out of a dead lion. Again, not touching anything dead was against the Nazarite vow. And it says this phrase, he goes to the vineyards of Timnah. Guess what's in a vineyard? Wine, grapes. What do? In a vineyard? You drink. And then ultimately, he cuts his hair, signifying his complete abandonment of his acknowledgement of where his strength lies or comes from. It would be there that he would suffer great defeat and humiliation, but the strength of the Lord would return to him. When he acknowledged the one who gives the strength to the weary and he called to him. Judges 16:28, this is what happens. Then Samson called to the Lord and said, O Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me only this once. O God, that I may be avenged on the Philistines for my two eyes, because his two eyes had been plucked out. And Samson grasped the two middle pillars on which the house rested, and he leaned his weight against him, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. Then he bowed with all his strength, and the house fell upon the Lord's and upon all the peoples that were in it. So the dead whom he killed at his death were more than those whom he had killed during his life. The beginning of that phrase, it says, then Samson called to the Lord. Have you lost your strength? Do you feel weak? The call this morning is to call upon the name of the Lord. For he is good. And his mercies are new every morning. Repent of your own pride and thinking that you are good enough to run the race without being filled with the Spirit of the living God and resting upon Him in all things. You see, Ephesians is a tremendous book written to the church in Ephesus. It's interesting, the church in Ephesus, Revelation talks about as doing a lot of good works, but has lost its first love. Paul, in this book of Ephesians, reminds God's people, and he reminds us this morning, of his glorious salvation, that he did the work. We were literally dead, face down in the water of our transgression and sins with no way out, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, made us alive together with Christ from death to life. And then you have those famous verses in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no man can boast. You see, even in the salvation, God is teaching us that it is His strength, His might, His power working in us to respond to His glorious grace. His work upon the cross, which he said, it is finished, that we receive. We were dead, but God in his mercy and his grace made us alive in Christ Jesus. And Paul's call here at the end of the book of Ephesians is now to continue. Now that you've received God's work in his salvation, continue to be strengthened by the Lord and the might of his power. Now in the resting in the Spirit of the living God by calling upon his name in prayer and supplication. Be strong in the Lord. The end of this book, Paul is now saying the gospel is true. Live it out in every area of your life. And he goes in chapters 5 and 6, and he talks about in the church, live out the gospel. In your marriage, live out the gospel. With your children, live out the gospel. In your workplace, live out the gospel. And finally, be strong in the Lord. Continue in his strength, in his might. And that's where we get verse 10 of chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. We only have 2 points this morning because we only have a few verses here, but I think they're relevant to us this morning. Point number one, rely upon the Lord for your strength. Rely upon the Lord for your strength. You see, when we say, I have enough strength, but we are not reliant upon the Lord to give us the strength, we are like Samson. But we need to have a Zerubbabel-like strength. You're like, what is he talking about? Zerubbabel-like strength. Some of my favorite verses here. Zechariah 4:6. Then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Translation, not by human power, nor by human might, but by the Spirit of the living God, Zerubbabel. That's how it's going to come about. That's how God works in and through the life of people. weak and weary vessels. I am a weak and weary vessel who come to Jesus, who call upon his name and renew their strength. Amen? Isaiah talks about renewing their strength to run, mount up like wings, like eagles, and run. The strength is from the Lord God Almighty. This is what Jesus says in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who labor, who work, and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let Jesus carry. Let his strength be enough for you. One of the ways in which we as the people of God must rely upon the Lord in the strength of his might is we must recognize that we, as fallible human beings, are weak. Where are you weak this morning? Are you weak in faith? Say, Lord, help my unbelief. You call out to the name of the Lord God Almighty. Have you given up on your marriage? Is he given up on you and shown his steadfast love through generation and generation to Israel and now to the nations? Is your body weak from sickness? You see, the Lord gives weakness so that the power of Christ may be perfected in you. It is in this weakness we must call upon the name of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10 says this. But he said to me, Paul's kind of whining here. He's got some problems. He's got this thorn in the flesh. He's got these issues that keep coming up. And he's weak and he feels weak and he doesn't want to be weak. And he's like, man, I am a spirit-filled person who is carrying the gospel to the nations, and yet I have this thorn in my flesh and I keep being weak. He says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. That's what the Lord says to him. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecution, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We spend most of our life shying away from weaknesses. As Americans, we don't want to be weak in any aspect of our life. We want our marriage strong. We want our finances strong. We want our relationships strong. We want our church strong. We want all these things strong. And yet, Paul's saying, I'm content with my weaknesses. Why? Because I'm being made perfect in the image of Christ, and I'm calling upon the name of the Lord in the midst of my weaknesses so that I may glorify God even in my weakness. You see, this is the gospel train track in which we as the people of God must get on. Right? How is it the gospel train track? Well, Christ became weak. He became a baby. He became a baby born in a manger, a servant who died upon a cross, so that the power of God may be displayed to the nations. We need to look at our weaknesses differently. And we need to see them as God sees them. as an opportunity to portray and display the glory of God for the nations. Ephesians 6:1, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. I think not only do we need to rely upon the Lord for our strength in the midst of our weaknesses, but God is the mighty warrior that fights for you. How strong is the Lord? How strong is he? There's another famous text of scripture that talks about being strong. Joshua 1:9, have I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Again, we like to hear the words be strong and courageous in our mind. When we read this verse, we center in on be strong and courageous, and we think to ourselves, I need to be more courageous. I need to be stronger. But we have to focus on the end of that verse, for it says, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You miss the message. Be strong and courageous. Why? Because God is strong and he is with you. He is a mighty warrior. Think, if you read your Bible, do your reading plan this year. I want one of the things to do is read the Bible all the way through and see themes of where the Lord is at work. And one of the themes that you can look at this year is God is a mighty warrior who fights for you. How mighty is your God? Is there anything he cannot do? Who are you, O man, to question God's path for your life? Does he not have your best in his mind? Romans 8:28 says this, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. God is actually working through your weakness for your good and his glory. This plays out throughout the text of Scripture. One of the areas is when God saves Israel from slavery with the Egyptians during the time of Moses. You think to yourself, he's just rescued his people. He's just shown his great power, and now they're going into the wilderness to worship the Lord God Almighty. He's going to take them into the promised land, and where does he take them? He takes them to the edge of the Red Sea. They can't go any further. And Pharaoh and the Egyptians are right behind him, getting ready to destroy all of Israel. That didn't end up too well, did it? God would only save me to bring me to this dead end? Why would he do that? That's what they were thinking. The most powerful army in the world, with all their chariots and their horsemen bearing down on them. This is what it says in Exodus chapter 14, verse 12. Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? This is the people talking to Moses. Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you will only have to be silent. The Lord is a mighty warrior, and he does fight for you. Sometimes he takes you to the dead end road just to show how powerful and how mighty and awesome he is. But we, the people of God, are called to call on the name of the Lord. And we are to declare, not my will, but yours be done. You may be in that kind of moment right now. The walls seem to be caving in on you. You must call upon the name of the Lord. You must rest in His plan for your life. And you must declare through the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of Christ in you, not my will, but yours be done. Be glorified in my weakness, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. This is my prayer for you, church, this year, is that you will call upon the name of the Lord. And your strength will not be in your own power or your own might, but by the Spirit of the living God. And the way that I think we do this is verse 18 here in chapter 6 of Ephesians, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Be strong in the Lord, and then He gives a whole bunch of examples of why we should look to the Lord's strength and power and put on that, because that is the clothing that Christ gives to us. And then He says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all power and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for the saints. Church, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might in 2025. Let's do that together. Father, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for the worship of gathering together, that we worship You, the Creator of all things, the Savior of the world. And Father, we do come before You now knowing that we are weak human beings who mess up deeply. And yet we need to trust in the strength of the Spirit of the living God. Father, we have some strong warriors in this room. Men and women of God who have given their life for Your glory, that You have empowered with great and mighty spiritual gifts. Help them to not be like Samson. Help them to not forget where their strength lies from. And help them, Father, and help us, help me, to glorify You by recognizing that we need Your strength, Your power, and Your might. Lord, we thank You and praise You for this morning. As we look to a wonderful 2025, we ask that You would be here amongst Your people, working in our hearts and minds for Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray.